and welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I'm obviously on the new mic. I have like a new filter. Everything sounds great. But if you make too much noise, a red light appears, and I'm kind of trying to treat the red light as like, oh, that means I hit the note on the intro. And it didn't happen this time because I was a little scared, but it'll happen! No, it hasn't happened yet. I did in one other time in the episode, but I don't see it. Anyway, hi, hello, welcome to Very Amusing. I have a lot going on in my brain this week because it is my daughter's first birthday tomorrow. I can't even handle it. The passage of time makes no sense to me. It's like sand slipping through my fingers. But somehow Pearly Girly is going to be one. Over the weekend, I took her to her very first puppet show, which you know for me is a big old deal. We went to Bob Baker Marionette Theater, one of my very favorite places in LA. And she saw her first full-length puppet show. I didn't take her sooner because I thought she was going to scream and cry the whole time because a child has no basis for a marionette moving around. And their marionettes usually look like people. They have some, there were some in the show that were like anthropomorphized rats. Like there's a lot of like, look like big animals with like act like people. So they're like these big rats. And then there was this black cat who's a celebrity at the theater. I mean, we don't have to get into it, but like black cat was there. There was like a white cat. There was all these different characters. And I thought she might be scared of them. And she wasn't at all. The first half of the show, she sat in my lap because you sit like crisscross applesauce style on the ground. And then there's chairs. You reserve a seat. You can sit in a chair. You can sit on the ground. It was her first show sitting on the ground. She sat in my lap and she like was frozen the first half of it, just frozen, taking it in. And then by the second half, she was like bouncing up and down. She was standing. She didn't want to sit. She wanted to get in on the action. She wanted to play with the puppets. She knows that Bob Baker Marionette Theater is her home, I guess. It's where her mom likes to spend time. So she's going to be there a lot. And it was really nice to share something I love with her, being like, you're just a little baby. I don't know if you're going to be into it. And she was into it. And it was wonderful. You may not have known that we did that because I posted about this for subscribers. I have a subscriber feature on my Instagram now. It is the cheapest they will let me charge, which is 99 cents a month. And like I said there, I guarantee you will get 99 cents of content. I'm usually posting to the subscriber feed at least once a day. We do subscriber Q&As. It's a lot of fun. So if that's something you're interested in, we no longer have a Patreon. We ended that a few years ago on the podcast, but this is a good way to get a little extra content, a little extra discussion, a little extra this woman yelling at you through your phone throughout the day. But what I really liked about it is that it feels like a little community. It really feels like a group chat. So it's really fun to be able to post stuff to like my little group of subscriber friends. So feel free to join. The subscription button is on my profile. There are weirdly some Instagram profiles where they're like, halt, you cannot subscribe. You are not eligible, which is just a weird back-end meta thing. I'm trying to figure out what that is, but there is a workaround where another account, if you have a secondary account or a different account, they can gift you a subscription and that works. But anyway, it's 99 cents a month. And I mention it because my mother brings it up in her voicemail on this episode. And she's like, you gotta be talking about a subscription. And she's right. So now we're talking about the subscription. But anyway, if you want to hang out with me even more than here, 99 cents a month, that's nothing. That's less than a side that's less than cold foam. But I'm really doing it for fun because it's really nice to be able to post to a smaller group of people when I'm in the parks and to share more private things about my life because it's not on main. It's not on the main feed. So it's been really, really nice. And if you want to take part in that, we'd love to have you. Beyond that, I think that's everything that's going on. My baby's turning one. We're going to feed her pizza. Going to feed baby pizza. Her first pizza, PZA, her little first pie day pizza. It's really mind-blowing. I can't even talk about it. I have to get off mic because I can't handle it. But we will talk about food this week. It's going to be great. Stick around. There is so much fun stuff to have. And if you have a Disneyland trip planned, or if you don't, this will at least let you know where to go. This is the classic guide, the main highlights of dining in Disneyland. Okay, I'm going to stop talking so we can hear about food. See you after the break. Okay, bye.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. As you've probably gleaned from the title of this episode, this is a little mini episode about Disneyland food, and specifically the Eater Disneyland Food Guide that I recently updated for the umpteenth time. I edit all of the, I'm counting them in my head, all of the Eater theme park food maps. Eater's food maps are this huge institution that they have. They're basically called the Eater 38, and they have them for almost every city in America, at least, if not the world at this point. There are so many of them. They are a wonderful resource for planning a trip. And specifically, the theme park ones that I update, I refresh from time and time again. And I just recently did refresh the Eater Disneyland one. There are more edits to come in the next couple months. I'm actually going to be in the parks this week. What day am I going? Oh, yeah, I'm going. I'm sorry. Calendar brain. I am going back and I'm researching some food that I don't know. Okay, so here's the deal. I went through a lot of menus recently and I found a lot of dishes that sound really interesting to me that I've never heard anyone mention. And I have friends who have never talked about them and haven't tried them. So I'm going back with a friend this week. We're going to try these dishes and hopefully some of them are hits. Hopefully some of them make it onto the Eater map next time. But until then, we have a lot of stuff to discuss. I essentially want to treat this episode as me walking you through the Eater 38 with my suggestions for Disneyland Resort. Because I realized we haven't talked about Disneyland food in a while, in many, many moons. Though I know last week we did talk about RIP the Choco Smash from Pim's in Avengers Campus at Disney California Adventure. I am heartbroken about it. I know some people in the FOMALY were discussing it. It is so sad. They did replace the best, I think one of the best desserts Disneyland Resort has ever had with a slice of cake, which is not the same. And I am bummed. I had to pull it off this map. I actually found out that it was gone when I was fact checking this entire map. So this is how I got to that conclusion. But today I'm just going to walk you through a journey of the 38 best things to eat at Disneyland, according to Eater and me and Eater. Starting with, this order's a little wackadoo. They load everything into their map format and then it kind of pops up in a directional order. So if things bop all over the place, don't worry. I do know where things are located. This is just the easiest way to read the map aloud. And of course, the map will be in the show notes of this episode. But we are starting with, and I'm very glad this ranked first, because I'm sure people are loading up this map, being like, feed me a Mickey pretzel, feed me a churro. I want to see the stuff that I expect to get there. But no. The Eater map starts with film strip fries at Award Wieners. And if you are a longtime listener to Very Amusing, you know I am obsessed with the film strip fries. Why? One, because they're filling. It is a filling snack you can get. They are affordable. They are easy to get. There's no like difficulty in buying them. You can walk right up or mobile order almost all the time without having to wait. But I like that they're a little something special. It's not a traditional French fry. It's a thicker, more potato-like snack. And if you need something to sustain you between meals, film strip fries are really the go-to thing for me if I'm in DCA. If I need something to hold me over until a meal, to get me from a night at the parks before my drive home, I just think film strip fries are the perfect addition. They're great. I think they're really great and they're fun. And I've never had these type of fries anywhere else. So to me, they are just an exclusive Disney treat that not that many people talk about. Next up, the breakfast chimichanga at Ship to Shore. Now, the breakfast chimichanga, as I say in this article, it is a heavy start to a long day. It is like a everything you would eat for breakfast just deep fried and served to you in a handheld device. It is a lot. It is heavy, but if you want something hearty and especially a little fun on your trip, this is more of a vacation food in my mind. There's a lot of stuff because I am local to Disneyland Resort that I'm like, I'm not getting that on a regular Tuesday when I gotta drive back to the house I live in. And this is one of them. Like, that'll take me out. But if I'm on vacation, I'm gonna get a breakfast with Shango. Why not? Why not? They're very fun. I haven't had one in a while. I may have it on this trip again just to quality check it. I like to check back in to see how things are. If I haven't had it in a bit, there are some other breakfast foods that I am eager to try, hoping to arrive early enough to try them all. But the breakfast chimichanga stays on the map for now. Next up is Quesa Burria Tacos at Cochina Cucamonga. Cochina. Every time I say this on the podcast, I panic. Cocina. Cochina. Hold on. Okay, I just watched multiple YouTube videos, and I believe the correct pronunciation is cocina. This is very embarrassing for me. I took many semesters of Spanish. I should not be looking up videos where the pre-roll of ad is a woman saying that white noise is alien interference. I am down a rabbit hole I may never get out of. But what you need to know is that regardless of how much I botched the name of this, which is basic Spanish, and I'm humiliated, is that these tacos really started a big old trend at Disneyland Resort. Now, Disney did not invent quesabirria. let me just say that in case my words are misconstrued. But we keep seeing this flavor profile pop up throughout the resort. We recently saw it at Lunar New Year. There was a quesabirria egg roll. There is the quesabirria grilled cheese at Jolly Holiday. Like, it keeps coming back because it's a fan favorite among guests. And this is really, I think, the pinnacle dish if you're going to get something like this at Disneyland Resort, which are these tacos. They are absolutely delicious. They are a wonderful option. I highly recommend it. I think if you haven't had them before, you should beeline to get this when you are at DCA next time. They're a wonderful dish. They're a wonderful dish, and I love them very, very much. They come with a consommé for dipping. They're crispy. They're crunchy. They're filled with beef and melty cheese. They are wonderful. Just go get them. Go get them. Do not doubt yourself. And if you see the grilled cheese version of these at Jolly Holiday, don't skip out on them either. It's real good. Next on the list is Docking Bay 7 Food and Cargo. And if you haven't been here in a while, the menu has changed drastically. But I still think it is worthy of being included on this map for multiple reasons, but especially because it has the coffee people will not stop talking about, the Cold Brew Black Calf. And if you've heard of it, you haven't had it, it is available here, but there are also some other dishes that are mainstays. Again, the menu has really changed in a way where this thing happens to me where when I cover a restaurant when it debuts and then the menu changes, I am a little heartbroken. It does break me a bit. And there are some dishes that are not there anymore that I really miss out on. But I do always feel like I gotta support this place because, again, for people like us listening to this, we don't mind that the dishes have silly, goofy names. But if you're in the park and you're just like, my children are hungry, I am hungry, it's very easy to pass this place up because you see a yob shrimp tingular stew. And you're like, I don't give me a chicken finger. You just panic. It's easy to panic if you are hungry and you need to order food and it's a stressful day in the park. However, there are some really great dishes here. The chicken tip-yip is always a classic, but don't sleep on the Felucian Keftan hummus garden spread. That was always a favorite of mine. There are other dishes that I love that are gone and I can't. There's, like, looking at this menu breaks my heart a little, but again, because it does have the cold brew black calf, which if you don't know is an iced cold brew coffee with sweet cream. The cream is sweet cream cheese. If you've had that before with little chocolate cereal puffs, it's probably the most popular coffee drink in the parks, I would say. Yeah, for sure. But again, the menu has changed so much. There are basically 5 entrees now, and there used to be so many others. So this one is on the chopping block, but for now it will remain, but it, for my own personal heartbreak, it may not be there for much, much longer. The next dish is the Ronto-less wrap at Ronto Roasters. This is phenomenal. I actually personally don't go to Docking Bay 7 as much anymore because I love this one so much. It is the vegan version of the traditional wrap, which is a Portuguese sausage, but I find that this merguez style impossible sausage is better. I like it better, and I like it much more than the veggie version of the Ronto wrap they sell at Walt Disney World. I think this one is superior. It is wonderful. It has that that punch from the gochujang sauce. It is a little spicy. It is delicious. And now that I said that, I'm going to need to get that this week because it is so yummy and I haven't had it in so long. Next up is a classic, turkey legs. You can find turkey legs, I'm going to rattle it off for you in case you're going on a trip and it's embedded in your brain. You can find them at Edelweiss Snacks outside of Sleeping Beauty Castle, at the Ship to Shore Marketplace, or at Poultry Palace in DCA. That is the only location you can get a turkey leg at Disney California Adventure. These locations change all the time for this big old hunk of meat, but people love them. People still love them. I've seen a lot more people lately, and this is not real data, but I've seen a lot of people walking around eating turkey legs, like leaving the park with a turkey leg. I've seen multiple people do that on recent visits, which I do not remember ever clocking before. So maybe they're onto something. I don't know. I know some people, because they mentioned it in the FOMALY, that they bring a Ziploc and bring a turkey leg home with them. This was not that. This was like, this is my popcorn snack on the way out of the park, which, I mean, I've never thought to do it. But why not? Why not just gnaw some meat on your way to the park? It's like a hot dog, but it's, you know, it's juicier. There's like more meat to it. Why not? Rancho del Zocalo, I have mentioned many times on this podcast, but it is a wonderful go-to restaurant to the point that I literally went there last week. They have enchiladas, they have tacos, they have salads in the taco bowl, which is harder to find these days, but it is delicious. I really like going there because you can just get You can sit down. There's plenty of seating, some of it covered, some of it not. You can decide between many different dishes, so it's a bit of a crowd pleaser no matter what group you're going with. There are different lines, so it's easy. You can just like divide and conquer. And they also have horchata and an horchata cold brew. I had the horchata cold brew. It was wonderful. I pair that with a sweet treat we will discuss later, a hint, the chocolate chip cookies. And it was nice. It was nice. And I love that you can just get a lot of food. You can get a lot of bang for your buck here. The prices are good. You can get a lot of food for how much you're paying. And I like it a lot. I have a sweet spot in my heart for here. Maurice's Treats is a huge favorite and also something that has popped up on TikTok a lot more over the recent years. I have edited this map for a while now. And before it was just editorial. It was kind of like where I think people should go. But now a lot of it is referencing, this is a little peek behind the curtain, but a lot of it is referencing the type of places that people see online who aren't big Disney fans, who are like, oh, I saw something about like a cheesy garlic twist or like a this or like a frozen apple, whatever. And now I'm trying to navigate people towards like, oh, you may have heard of this place and might have this snacky that you want. So I always include it on here. I actually can't remember what is on the Maurice's Treats menu at the moment, because there's something I wanted to mention, not the Boysen Apple Freeze, which is great on a hot day. Yeah, on a hot day, on a cold day, on a hot day. I'm too involved in this food. Anyway, yes, the garlic cheesy pretzel bread with cheesy garlic spread. That is something to take note of. You can buy a marinara sauce to dip in it. I'm feeling a little anti sauce upsell these days because I got a corn dog with like their house honey mustard. Can't miss it. And I basically just like flushed a dollar something down the drain. It was not good. And I ended up just using ketchup the whole time. So if you're not inclined to a sauce, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. They also have some pastries here. I usually don't get pastries at Disney parks. I don't think they're very good, but they have a cream cheese Danish, a cinnamon roll, stuff like that. People have been talking about the Is It Pink or Blue cinnamon roll, but like I'm never pleased with the cinnamon roll at Disney Park, so that's not happening. Next up, maybe one of the most classic of classics, the fried chicken dinner at Plaza Inn. It is exactly what you want. It's fried chicken. It has stood the test of time. It is a homage to Walt. You can get it with green beans and then never eat them because you're in Disneyland. Why would you eat a vegetable? You can get a biscuit. You can get mashed potatoes and gravy. There was a time when one of my hacks was to go there and get one piece of chicken. There was a time not too long ago where you could say, oh, I just want one thigh, one leg. You could just get one piece and they would price it accordingly. So you just pay a couple bucks and get a piece of chicken. And it was wonderful instead of getting the whole meal. Now you have to get the whole meal, which I don't know. Sometimes in summer, I'm not looking for three pieces of chicken and mashed potatoes, but you can also split it with someone, which I have done in the past. I just really, not to live through my old memories, but wow, that was the best hack and it's gone. Oh, it's gone. As I mentioned recently, the chocolate chip cookies at Harbor Galley. These have exploded on the internet. I don't know what happened, but if you've seen Disney Food Blog's videos in the past, I want to say five-ish weeks, there was a line, an out-of-control line for these at Harbor Galley. And I get it. These chocolate chip cookies are what I would call the in real life emoji version of a chocolate chip cookie. They are warm. They are gooey. They are a little, they're soft. They're soft and they're delicious. They're homemade. They're served warm. They are exactly what you want when you think, oh, a chocolate chip cookie. Like, that's what this is, a little homemade morsel that is absolutely divine. And what I also like about them, besides the fact that they're not the cookies that they sell at like Candy Palace and stuff like that, because those cookies are sand. They're like a handful of sand. They're truly just, they disintegrate. They're god awful. But these cookies, they sell them by the half dozen. So you can get six, or you can get a baker's dozen. You can get six or 13 cookies. And let me tell you, when you want a cookie, it's always nice to know you have another cookie around the corner. I did eat four of these while walking around the park, just casually, like, oh, it's, they serve them to me in a bag. It's kind of like eating Chex Mix, and then was very full. But it is, I had one with the horchata cold brew. It was, oh, that was a wonderful, wonderful snack. A pairing I highly recommend. But to go back to the trend of it all, these became a thing and they were taken off mobile order. And it was like, you got to wait in line. You got to wait forever to get them. And they are now back on mobile order. So they are much easier to get. And I feared, oh, they're on mobile order. They're churning them out. Maybe they just have them sitting there. They won't be served warm anymore. They're still served warm. They're fresh. They're just as fresh. And it is very, very good. I went on a Friday and there was a standby line, which was absolutely manageable. I hear that the line is usually much longer on the weekends, which makes sense. But if you're going on a weekday, check in advance. The mobile ordering did end at, I want to say it was around Friday at probably 1:30 p.m. I originally ordered it for breakfast time and then I had to change my mobile order pickup to later, which you can do easily in the app. But when I tried to change it again, they were like, nah, there's no more mobile ordering for these. They were full for the day. So be sure to check early in the morning, because you can always get to the park at 8:15, 9:20, and then go in the app and order cookies for whenever you want later in the day. That is one of the wonderful things about mobile order, because you will not be charged unless you go, and if you pick it up, you're going to get charged. But if you don't go, they don't charge you. So it's really nice to be able to hold your place in line, get those cookies. And if you have to adjust the time, which is what I did, and then I had a little afternoon snack. Matterhorn Macaroon, because we can't talk about a cookie without talking about the Matterhorn Macaroon. It is one of my comfort snacks. It is just a blob of coconut and what condensed milk, I think, and sugar just dunked in like white chocolatey covering. And then it's crunchy on top because of the chocolate coating, but it looks like a Matterhorn, which I love, because really this is just a handful of sugar and shredded coconut, but it looks like a ride. It looks like a ride. And that is the simplicity and the beauty of this one. I also like to get a bag of them. I like to get a bag of them. So you have them, like, I love bringing these home. I think this is a really nice treat to bring home for someone, because they might expect something different, but this is a fun little delight and a surprise. Now we have many, many more treats and things to talk about, and we will get into that after this break. Okay, you know that feeling that everyone knows something that you don't? For me, that used to be Quince, but no more. Quince is a truly astounding retailer, essentially carrying everything a person on your mood board would wear. We're talking washable silk blouses, chic leather bags, 14-karat gold jewelry, European linen dresses, and the best part of all is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They're up here with $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters. $50! Beautiful, timeless items you can wear and actually live in. Meaning, you don't have to be scared to bring them on your theme park travels. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you're sensitive to retailers like I am, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. But it's not just your everyday work-life clothes. They have everything. I recently joined a new gym, big deal for me, and desperately needed new workout clothes to wear there. It's kind of like an LA gym. Like, it kind of got to look cute. So I ordered a pair of their Ultraform bike shorts and high-rise pocket leggings. And when I tell you, the quality of these leggings is truly on par with brands I paid three times as much for, which really kind of makes me love these three times more. I'm not only going to buy them again, but actually buy the other travel stuff in my cart because they have things like beautiful pastel suitcases for $129 and these wildly affordable compression packing cubes that I have been waiting forever to buy compression packing cubes, and they're always so pricey. And here, the price fits. So if you want to get ready for work, your new gym, travel, anything in your life, go to Quince. Quince.com/amusing will get you free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Ooh, that's nice for someone who puts stuff off like I do. That's Quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Welcome back! And of course, we're welcoming you back with a very classic Disney treat. Dole Whip. Duh! Dole Whip. Dole Whip! At Disneyland Resort, you can go to Tropical Hideaway and you can get strawberry or mango swirls. You can go to Disneyland Hotel and go to Tangaroa Terrace and get a Dole Whip with rum, a little float with rum. But also, the classic at Disneyland is the classic. I don't want to be negative about the Dole Whip. I like a Dole Whip. But I won't. The serving size is never as big as I want it to be. I want so much more soft serve than they'll give me. But it is great. It is great. It's a classic. It's wonderful. And it's refreshing. It's also, I am sure I've talked about this before, but the best Dole Whip I've ever had was at Magic Kingdom, actually. But not because it was at Magic Kingdom. Because it was winter. It was so cold. I was wearing a hat and a jacket and a scarf, I think. And I had Dole Whip and it didn't melt. Because usually it melts so quick. You know what I'm talking about if you had a Dole Whip before. It's just like, boom, it's liquid. It is pineapple juice immediately. Boom. And because I had it in wintertime, it stayed solid the whole time. It felt like a magic trick. It was wonderful. Highly recommend on a very cold day. Specifically, get Dole Whip. You gotta get Dole Whip on a cold day. And on a cold day, why not go to Jolly Holiday and get a combo at Jolly Holiday Bakery Cafe? Grilled cheese, cup of tomato basil soup, Main Street vibes, you're not missing anything. Now, the beef birria one, which we mentioned, that one is exceptional. But also, I mean, it has, I'm going to give you some food notes from the story. It has melty pepper jack cheese, caramelized onions, fresh cilantro, a punchy salsa verde, and comes served alongside a steaming cup of birria consomme for dipping. It is excellent. My friend Heather from Dining in Disney turned me on to that one. But the grilled cheese and soup, I mean, it's a classic. It's a classic. It's a classic. Just like the skewers at Bengal Barbecue. And I love that Bengal Barbecue has expanded from just like, we got a few things. You can make a meal out of those skewers at this point. You can get rice. You can get a little side salad. You can get a bunch of skewers and make a day of it. They have beef, chicken, pork, and vegetables. And I haven't been there in a while. I got to get back there. I got to get one of those vegetable skewers because I'm always looking for a vegetable. And I never really find that many roasted vegetables in the park. I got to get back there. I love those. I also love the bao buns at Tropical Hideaway, where I mentioned you can get flavored Dole Whips. I think it's very easy for when you're in the park and you're hungry to forget that there are savory foods over in this corner. It does feel a bit like Dole Whip frozen treat ice cream land in my own brain, but there are really great things here. The bao buns are fantastic, and it's a really nice, just like a nice size between a snack and a meal, just something to have to tide you over a few hours so you're not hungry waiting in line, so you can power through to your next churro, pretzel, or any of these treats on this list, et cetera, et cetera. I do need to rewire my brain too to be like, there are savory options here. And so I'm going to have to get another one of those soon because they are great. They're great. I keep saying all this stuff is great, but I know that's the point of the story. But another thing that's great that we all know is churro toffee. It's weird to think that there was a time before churro toffee, but the white chocolate covered cinnamon sugar slathered hunk of toffee is popular for a reason. However, this thing's very expensive now. Originally, it was such a fun little bakery treat. It's something I would always bring home for my husband. It's a lot of money now. It's a significant amount of money for a little hunk of sugar, but it is worth it. I think it's the best thing in the bakery case, unless you are a marshmallow wand person like I am. Marshmallow wands are an embarrassing snack to eat because people see you absolutely lose your mind in a sugar high and then immediately crash, which is embarrassing in front of friends. It's humiliating. But I love churro toffee is a go-to treat and a perfect souvenir to bring home from people because temperature doesn't affect it too much. Like it can a bit, but it's usually fine in your bag. It's delicious and it's a little different from something they've had before while also honoring a traditional Disneyland taste, which is cinnamon sugar, which is a churro. So if you've never had it, you absolutely must get it on your next Disneyland trip. And if you've had it, you know what I'm talking about. You know how good it is. Also great are the Mickey beignets at Mint Julep Bar. Now, in my eater map, I tell the truth. I am honest because I think you should hesitate to get the seasonal flavors. I have never been wowed by a seasonal flavor of Mickey beignets. I think just stick with the powdery sack of the classic ones because currently, I'm pretty sure the flavor is still grape? Grape. I don't want a grape donut. I don't know about you. I don't want a bag of grape donuts. Surely not. And just a purple powder dusted beignet that tastes like grape. It's not my bag, literally and figuratively. I recommend the standard ones, which are delicious. They are, they're such a fun treat. And my favorite beignet memory is getting a sack of them with friends and then going on the Disneyland Railroad and just sitting there and just eating our little donuts, which I don't think you're supposed to do, so don't get me in trouble. But I did it anyway. I'm bad. I ate a sugary donut on the train. Hoo boy. But it was fun. It was fun. Another great dish to share with friends or your party that you're traveling with are the fried pickles at Carnation Cafe. I love the sauce that comes with them also. I believe off the top of my head, I'm blanking on it, but I think it's some sort of aioli. I got this recently and then I dipped the fries from my meal into the aioli and it was divine. But the fried pickles, you gotta get them. They were real sloppy when I got them last time. They were still delicious. It's just a fried pickle. It's not something you get every day. And usually if I get a fried vegetable, which, you know, if I'm going out to dinner, I'm getting a fried vegetable. Zucchini chips lately are a big thing for me. I went to a fancy place in LA. It's called Tower Bar at the Sunset Tower Hotel. It's like real fancy, like so fancy that I was nervous to valet there and look just because it's like a stressful valet because it's like a fancy hotel. And so I Ubered, but that's an aside. That's just telling you how fancy this hotel is. And we went and we got a platter of zucchini chips and they were so good. I love a little fried vegetable and as an appetizer. And this is one of the best. And the best in the parks. Yeah, I'm thinking through all the options. Yeah. Fried pickles, you gotta get them. Now, you're listening to Very Amusing. You don't need me to tell you that a Mickey waffle is great. You don't need to know that. You know it's delicious. But they have them at Disneyland and you should get them. I do want to reference what I've written in the map, which is to get a hold of these crispy sugar-dusted waffles, visitors will either need to splurge on a character breakfast buffet or grab a breakfast reservation at Carnation Cafe on Disneyland's Main Street, USA. Unless you know that they're sneakily on the kids menu at GCH Craftsman Grill, the quick service hotel restaurant at the Grand Californian. That is where you can get them. That's a great option for if you want a little Mickey waffle. But I also love a Main Street breakfast. So if you can get into Carnation Cafe when you get to the park, that's also divine. Monte Cristo, another classic, another dish that I've had a few times and have no need to get again because that my digestive tract don't love it. But if you haven't had it, you gotta try it. It is delicious. It is wonderful. I said delicious 45 times on this podcast. I am so sorry, but it's really how I'm not good with adjectives off the top of my head. But this thing has got turkey, ham, and Swiss. I guess you'd describe it as like a batter and fried sandwich. It's a fried sandwich. There is a vegetarian version of Cafe Orleans that's made with cheese. Pack your lactaid because it has brie, Swiss, and mozzarella. And it also comes with preserves. This thing is a monstrosity in the greatest of ways. It is so funny that we're like, oh yeah, we'll take a big old fried sandwich. That's a favorite Disneyland food. Like Disneyland is aggressive. You're walking around all day. You're clocking over 15,000 steps. You're doing stuff. You're sometimes in the heat. You're lately in the rain. A fried sandwich is not usually the thing you'd expect, but it is so good and it is classic. And I love us for that. My eater map also has basically a hit list of places to hit in downtown Disney. I include Black Tap, Ballast Point Brewing Anaheim, ice cream at Salt and Straw, as well as pizza at Naples Ristorante e Bar, or if you're me, restaurant and bar. Of those four, and also Earl of Sandwich. Duh. Earl of Sandwich is a new addition because I realized, how can I have a Disney guide that doesn't have Earl of Sandwich on it? Earl of Sandwich... Earl Sims can't quit. That place keeps moving around. It'll take any vessel that it's put in, and it'll keep on selling those holiday Thanksgiving sandwiches. And we love it. And I love Earl Sandwich for that. I love it that it is like all the time. This place is a mainstay. It will never, ever go away. I also appreciate Earl Sandwich for being priced really well. I think everything on the menu is under $14.99. It's like a go-to for so many reasons. And it's great. But the place that I look forward to going to most is Naples. I love their pizza. There were many years when, long story short, on Yom Kippur, which is a high holiday in the Jewish religion, you fast all day and then you can have a big meal. And my big meal, I always wanted pizza. And every year I would be so hungry and I'd look forward to pizza and I would finally get pizza at the end of this fast. And then I'd be like, It's not the pizza I love from Naples year after year after year. So that's how much I like it here. I want to go back and eat the little pepperoni pizza sometime soon because it is wonderful and I highly recommend. Moving outside of the parks, we have the Tonkatsu Ramen at Tangaroa Terrace. But really, Tangaroa Terrace has a lot of fantastic options, which you can go to even if you're not staying at the Disneyland Hotel. You can go there and order food. There are duplicates between the menu here and the menu at Trader Sam's, but you can also get the poo-poo platter that of the things that you would get at Trader Sam's, which include the panko crusted long beans, which I think are the best thing. They're delicious. They complement well with a drink or not. If you just want to get them, they're great. They're also, I plagiarized myself. They're on this menu on their own. They have their own spot as part of Trader Sam's. Get them if you're there. Dunk them in the sauce. Again, a fried vegetable as an appetizer. You know I love it. We're moving into DCA now, and the hand-dipped ice cream bar at Clarabelle's hand-scooped ice cream. This is something for the first few years that I was doing Disney stuff I didn't really know about. I wasn't focused on Disneyland food. It was mostly Walt Disney World. And this thing is so fun for me because I truly feel like this has to be like an expensive offering for them to have like a custom ice cream bar. And it hasn't gone away. It's still there. It's still there. You can choose an ice cream flavor. You can choose what kind of chocolate it's dunked in. You can choose your toppings. It's just a bespoke dessert is really nice. And I really appreciate that they still do this. Now, if you're looking for a fine dining experience, Napa Rose is where you're going to go. It is a wonderful restaurant by any standards. But if you are having a nice night out at Disneyland Resort, this will elevate your trip 1,000%. I have been there a few times, but I more often am eating at the other Grand Californian eateries. That is, as I should have mentioned, located at Disney's Grand Californian Resort and Spa. The GCH Craftsman Bar is essentially, you could describe it as the pool bar because it is right by the pool and it's a bar and a restaurant, but it is a restaurant you can go to. You can leave the parks and go there. I have done that with my husband because what I recommend it for is a wonderful midday escape from the chaos for someone who's not full hog on Disney, who wants to be there, wants to go on some rides, but isn't like, I'm here to live it up, which in my case is my spouse. My spouse is there because I like it. He likes some of the rides. He likes doing some of the stuff. But going here and kind of just hanging out, getting a drink, splitting a pizza has been the best way to visit this spot and the best way to fit it in during the day while you're spending the day at Disneyland Resort. Carthay Circle Lounge, another fantastic spot. If you happen to drink cocktails, I recommend this place. And if you don't drink cocktails, I recommend this place because they have the Rose Petal Soda, which is the lightest, brightest drink that you can find in the parks. It is non-alcoholic. It is divine. It is not too flowery if you're worried about like a fragrant drink. It is just perfectly balanced and a wonderful way to cool off on a hot day if you are not interested in one of their famous Manhattans or martinis or anything with an ice sphere. All of that is great, but there are great options for you either way. And there are small plates there that are pretty delicious. The portion sizes are small for the price. I'm just going to say that now because every time I'm like, oh, that's a cheese plate. That's not a lot of cheese, but the food is good. It's just a little on the small side. Now, in this map, I do recommend Pimp Test Kitchen, which I still recommend, but I got a vendetta against Pimp Test Kitchen, as you know, because they got rid of the chocolate bar. I'm really upset about it. How upset can I be at a restaurant that treats a pretzel like a main dish? Not that upset, but I hold a grudge. I take umbrage with you, Pimp Test Kitchen. I am upset, but you deserve to be on here, but I'm still upset about it. And of course, I could not write a guide to Disneyland dining without mentioning Cozy Cone Motel. You can get whatever you want. You can get soft serve at one. You can get popcorn in another. Oh my God, I didn't realize this is what I described this as. In this map, we focus on the filled cones. And I didn't know I used this language. I said, the Carsland Frankenfood that defies tradition and at times digestion, but nevertheless makes whoever's eating it very, very happy. I see no lies. That is true. A little harsh that it does. A bread cone is not for me, but I have had it in the past, and I like the mac and cheese one. You can get a bacon mac and cheese one, or you can get chili con queso at the third cone on the left. The mac and cheese is my, I love a Disney mac and cheese. I just love it. I can't wait. Sidebar, can't wait for my daughter to be old enough to eat mac and cheese so I can be like, yeah, we need like four portions of kids mac and cheese and just eat three of them and then give her one and be like, this is divine. I order it off the kids menu all the time anyway, but I just love it. And then there are these sourdough bread bowls at Aunt Cass Cafe. I guess Aunt, I've never said the new name of they changed their restaurant. They changed all the theming of this area when they redid it for DCA when they turned it into San Francisco inspired. Aunt Cass Cafe, I forget how they say that in Big Hero 6 because that is not the point of the movie. But anyway, they redid it. They have sourdough bread bowls still from the on-site. Oh no, another word I have to say out loud. Oh no. Boudin? They sell sourdough. That's really all you need to know. At least I can say Ghirardelli. I can do that. I hope I said that right. I'm going to be so embarrassed if I didn't. But the place where they make the bread factory where they make all the sourdough is right there. This place used to be called Pacific Wharf Cafe, if that rings more bells. But right now it is Aunt feels more of Aunt Cass Cafe. And there are really cute little photo moments inside that tie back to Big Hero 6, which I highly recommend checking out on your next visit. But here you can get a sourdough bread bowl filled with clam chowder or mac and cheese or whatever's in season. When I went recently, I had a beef curry, which was fun. It was really good. I don't think I talked about all. I did a bunch of research, which I'm holding on because I'm going to maybe put in the next map. Anyway, I had the beef curry there, which was really tasty, but there wasn't enough beef. I think there were maybe like two or three bites of beef, which is not enough, which does not a beef curry make. But more importantly, it was a Japanese style curry. So it was like a yellow curry with beef and vegetables. It was very tasty, but I spilled on myself immediately because that's how I am. Just straight out the gate, spilled on myself, and it stained everything. Like it must be turmeric that is it making the yellow that makes it stain everything. But my hands were stained. I thankfully got it off, but it stained my pants and there's no going back. My white polka dot pants now have a big old yellow polka dot on them. But it's a memory of a dish that I'd recommend on my eater map. So I guess it is okay. And there's Lucky Fortune Cookery right across the way, which has what I would call a TikTok forward menu. They have beef bulgogi burritos. That's a mouthful to say. And birria ramen. Again, we discussed how birria is this flavor profile that they're extending throughout Disneyland Resort. Here you can get it as a ramen. They also have, what else do they have? Yaki udon. They have karage chicken, which is fried chicken, which I thought was pretty good there. I got the karage chicken sandwich. It had this spicy slaw on it and togarashi mayonnaise. Really great. But more importantly, it's the only place in the park you will find Thai tea. They have Thai tea here with boba and a sea salt cream on top. So there's a bunch of fun stuff to try here, especially as a group, if you want to just get a few different flavors and stuff you would not traditionally be able to find at like Disney World or like any of those parks. This menu, as the kids say, slaps. It's just fun. It's a fun mix of different cuisines. And I like it. I like what they've done here, even though they did get rid of, I won't get into it. They got rid of my favorite. I used to love the old menu here, but I'm happy with this one. I'm happy that I included it in the map, and there's a reason for it to be there. If you listen to this podcast, you know Lamplight Lounge is the place to go. They have a wonderful brunch, but more importantly, they have one of my all-time favorite Disney dishes. We don't talk about this enough. The crispy salt and pepper potato skins. They're served with paprika aioli and dusted and manchego shavings. They are great. I advise to get two of them because you won't want to share. They are the crispy potato bits. They are so good. This is also home to the more well-known, just these little potato bites, Cove Bar's lobster-topped nachos. You can still get those upstairs and downstairs. Lamplight Lounge is now split. It's kind of two different venues, but it's one, but it's two. But it's one, but it's technically two. And the lobster nachos are there, which are great. Pro tip sidebar. I think I mentioned this years ago on a food podcast episode we did, but I sometimes like to get the lobster nachos with steak. I like to get them with steak. I think that is quite tasty. I think it depends what mood you're in. If you're not in a lobster mood, you want steak. It's pretty good. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Keep that in the back of your Disney going mind. I also recommend the drumettes at Poultry Palace. I love that you can get these little pieces of shake and bake style chicken in a little, like a little to-go thing. Again, we love protein. This, I feel like, is Disney California Adventure's answer to Bengal barbecue. It's like a really good equivalent. So check it out if you haven't had that. I think a lot of people walk past there and don't even think about it because they might not be in a chickeny mood. But later at night, if you like just want a snack instead of sitting down for a meal, that can get your protein. And then you can just have like pretzels or yummies, whatever, the rest of the night. Jack Jack's cookie num num, that brown butter cookie, ooh, with milk chocolate chunks and dark chocolate chips, served melty and warm. You got to get it if you haven't had it. I adore that cookie. It is one of my favorite Disney cookies. I think it's great. I think it's a great offering. I love that they have it on both coasts. I think that's very nice. And that is actually my last item on the eater map. There are some things that I'm going to switch in for next time. And I think in 2 months I update it again. I'm updating it throughout this year. But that's what I recommend now. And then after my research in a few weeks, I will have some more suggestions for you. Wait, you guys, we are going on a journey together here because in the process of doing this episode, I realized that something went horribly wrong with the map on Eater's website because corn dogs are somehow no longer on there. I would never have cut corn dogs. How did corn dogs fall off the map? You gotta get a corn dog in Little Red Wagon. It's a Little Red Wagon on Main Street. This will hopefully be fixed on their website by the time you hear this, but know that going through this is the only way I learned that corn dogs fell off. Can you imagine if I sent someone to Disneyland and them being like, corn dogs aren't on here. I guess they're not worth it. They are absolutely worth it. The honey mustard I got with them was not worth it, but the corn dogs were worth it. Oh my gosh. Wow. I'm really glad we solved this problem in unison. I just wanted to let you know, in case you're like, why didn't this woman talk about corn dogs? She loves corn dogs. That's why. They're hand dipped. They're hand dipped. They're fresh, made to order. Ooh, wonderful. Corn dogs will be back in the map as soon as I can physically get them in. Wow, what a catch. Now, if you have anything you think should be on here, petition me, call in, let me know, yell at me, say that I missed your favorite food and I'm a big old dumb dummy, and I'll go check it out. I'll check it out and then probably be like, you're right, or you're very wrong, and I stand behind these. I do weirdly crave, there's like a baked potato in Fantasyland people love. It's just a baked potato, but I do want to get it again. There's so much good Disneyland food. I'm riding that magic key high, in case you can't tell. But truly, let me know if there's any other dining questions you have. I'm happy to answer them. Really vibing that horchata cold brew with a chocolate chip cookie. That was maybe a pinnacle Disney treat for me at this point. Blending those two together was divine. Highly recommend. And I will let you know if I find anything else new. Thank you for listening. And if you want to check out the story, the link is in the show notes. And always check back if you're listening to this podcast in the future, like further down the line after we recorded it. I am regularly updating the map. I think I'm going to update it 4 or 5 times this year. So be sure to check back on your trip so you can, I don't know, be guided the right way to eat all the yummies. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Carly. Big fan of the podcast. This is Jocelyn from Texas. I was listening to your podcast episode about the things you don't like about theme parks. And you mentioned the festival foods and how you hate how the festival foods are so fleeting. And while I still love a good food festival, I have to agree. So in 2022, my husband and I went to the Festival of the Arts, and in the Canada Pavilion, they had an Appleseed Orchard apple pie slushie. And it was the stuff of dreams. It had a frozen apple slushie with this little pie crumble on top, and it was fantastic. So we look for it every time we go to Epcot, even if it's not the right festival, because I keep hoping that the Canada Pavilion will resurrect this amazing slushie. Thank you so much for the podcast. I love it. And I'd love to know, are there any other foods you'd choose to resurrect and keep year round? Let me know. Bye.
Yes. See, this is what I'm talking about. Even when festival food hits and hits this hard, It just means that you're disappointed because you can't ever get that food again, or you have to wait for a certain time of year to get it again. If something is that good and you eat it at a Disney park, I think you should get it year round, which I know I yelled about in the other episode. But anyway, I hear you, I see you, and I completely agree with you, because obviously, like, paying, what, $7.75 for a small something that you don't like is not great. But paying $7.75 for a small thing of something you love and want more of and can't get, heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. As for foods I'd resurrect, I am weirdly drawing a huge blank, even though I feel like I talk about certain ones all the time. I feel like Morocco Pavilion changed their menu. I'm sad about that. But the obvious one that comes to mind is from many years ago when Lucky Fortune Cookery, which we obviously talked about in this episode, when they had a kind of build your own meal situation. You could choose vegetable, protein, rice. And I loved it because, as we've talked about many times, I need vegetables when I'm in the park. I need protein. I need to, like, be sustained to make it through the day. And I would go there, and I think my order was like tofu or chicken with rice and then a double order of vegetables. So I was able to get everything I needed in this, like, healthy little balanced meal. And then that went away forever and it was pretty upsetting. But it did. Now they have other food, which we included today. So it's fine. That is the main heartbreak for me. Choco Smash is really at the top. That candy bar was one of my favorites. I can't believe it's gone. I really can't believe it's gone. Oh, God. There's some Docking Bay 7 stuff. There was this really good. They know they have like a salad like thing on the menu now, but there was a Docking Bay salad that was fantastic. The one I'm talking about that they don't have anymore is the roasted Andorian tip yip salad, which was marinated chicken, mixed greens, roasted seasonal vegetables, quinoa, pumpkin seeds, and a green curry ranch. The green curry ranch was so good, and that is a no more. But in terms of anything that I'm really heartbroken about, I think I can't. Why can't I? Oh, yes, the malva pudding. Yes, the malva pudding in Animal Kingdom. In Animal Kingdom where you get Dole Whip, I'm blanking on the name. I feel like it's Tamu Tamu refreshments. Of course, like, I can't think of the name, but I'm pretty sure it's the exact name. They had this malva pudding, which was, it's basically a malva cake. They call it malva pudding at Jack's Wayfreda, my favorite restaurant in New York. But it was basically like a little cake doused in caramel sauce is what I meant to say. So caramelly, so sticky, so delicious. And it was there for a blip and then gone. And I miss that one so much. I'm sure this will haunt me and I will wake up in the middle of the night thinking of others. But that one really hit. Oh, that one was really good. But this is a great question. Now I got to think of it again. And I may just yell into the void if I find more. But thank you for calling so much. And I hope that one day you do get that apple drink again. I'm hoping for you. I'm putting it out in the universe that hopefully one day it'll happen. Hopefully.
Hey, Carly. This is Matt from Nebraska. Just heard the latest episode. Wanted to give a quick defense of the Davy Crockett Explorer canoes because I love them. You know, I get 20,000 steps a day in the park if I'm there, but my poor little arms, they're just hanging like a Tyrannosaurus's little nubs. So I love the Explorer canoes to get to use my arms a little, but even more important is the skippers of it, or pilots, or whatever you call them, but they're great. They've got a routine similar to Jungle Cruise, talking about different things and making jokes, and I love it. So it's a very fun ride for that element, for sure. And then one of the things I won't do is I don't do World of Color. I know people love it. I've just never connected with it. It's kind of a colorful commercial for Disney and Pixar movies, and that's cool. But the whole place is a ad for Disney and Pixar movies. So I wish they would do more with a little storytelling or some kind of old Walt Disney educational element, what have you. But, you know, to each their own. That's it. Look forward to next week.
Okay. I mean, you are selling me on something I swore I would never do, because you will never hear me saying a bad word about hardworking, dedicated, talented cast members. And if they're this good on the canoes, I am a little tempted. You've done more to convince me to go on the canoes than years of my life seeing them and seeing people look genuinely happy on them have. But I will not be going on them because I don't want to exercise while I'm there. However, now I'm a little interested. Now I'm maybe one day going to be dragged on them. You have opened the door. And for that, I have to thank you. I do also appreciate you tossing in your own suggestion. I got some calls like this week. I think it's nice that we're all throwing in our own little things. But for World of Color, I disagree. If you were going to say you don't like Mickey Mix Magic, I would be right there next to you because that is a flop of a show. I'm sorry. I know people love it, but it just feels so filler to me. It's like, there's no fireworks. Like, it's just not like, it's raining. Like, that's what that show is to me. It is not my favorite. But World of Color, I'm not the number one fan of water screens, but I got to appreciate the technology and especially in that setup and that layout at DCA, the view, just seeing every, like the lights and everything behind it. Like, it just feels, I love the way that, I mean, if we're going to get into the nitty gritty of it, I love the way that you can just really be around, you can surround World of Color from any angle. You can like, and I love that it's not just, we're in a theater setup, like, Fantasmic at I guess Disneyland or Hollywood Studios, really, like you are in the audience area and that is it. I really love that World of Color is just organic to the center of that part of the park. It's really nice. So yeah, I haven't seen that in a while either. I saw when the newer show debuted, but I think it's great. I have other things to pinpoint beyond World of Color, but I appreciate this call. And I appreciate you maybe convincing me to one day go on the canoes. One day, I'm not promising anything, but I'll think about it.
Hi, Carly. It's Kelly. I am just letting you know that as a caveat to your fuel rod rule that I just heard you talk about on your last episode, use the fuel rod to charge the little portable fan. That's exclusively what our fuel rods are for, or a fuel rod singular, I guess. That way I don't have to conserve the battery on it. I can use it as much as I need. And I know that it will always have a charge. So I always keep a couple of those little connector things in my bag because, yes, you are correct that they can tip bent and stop working, but that is the best use for the fuel rod, in my humble opinion. I will talk to you soon. Bye.
You're so right. I actually did this too. I do this with fuel rods. I use fuel rods to charge the fan. I somehow had no memory of it. My brain is broken. Thank you for reminding me that yes, fuel rods can be used for more than just your phone. And they are a handy dandy thing to have around. I do for my cell phone prefer the battery pack because I don't have that little tail hanging off the bottom of my phone. I don't have to worry about the cords. But for the fan, you're totally right. You're totally right. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you for clarifying this. And to anyone who, I don't know, threw all their fuel rods out in protest after, or I guess in solidarity, I mean, after last week's episode, I hope we can get them back because they are great for fans. You're so right. Oh, wow. Thank you for calling. I really appreciate it. You are so right. Thank you. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening this week. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. We appreciate it. Your ratings, your reviews. It helps people find out about the podcast, which is great because I think we'd like to have fun here. So why not spread the joy? You know what I mean? You can give us a call at 747-CHURROS, send us a voice note, or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. Now, at the end of this week, I am going through the entire, I'm invoicing everything, every call, everywhere. There are some where I'm like, oh, I'll get to that because that requires more research, and it's been a minute. So I'm going to try to hit everything all at once. So if you have any burning questions, get them in now so that I can invoice them and really work towards finding you an answer or a solution, because there are some that are mini mysteries that I've got to work on, and I will be doing that in the coming week. You can buy Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com. And you can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. I posted a video a few days ago. I don't post any videos, but I really went for it. I made a little TikTok. I made a little reel about seeing the Margot Robbie Barbie-inspired red carpet looks at an exhibit in LA. It was mind-blowing. It was so cool. I was very close to her outfits and just like could have touched them and like the security guard maybe wouldn't have known. I didn't because I follow the rules, but I was very, they just let us be there. There was a display that was basically a bookshelf with her purses and her heels. And then there was like a Vivienne Westwood bracelet just sitting there. And they were like, okay, just like glance at it and leave. Like, I'm not saying I was going to touch it, but I'm just like, you don't have this tied down. It's just floating there. It's just, I hope, like I'm worried. I don't want anyone to take it. It's just, it's like a relic. It's so fancy. Anyway, that was incredible. So follow me. You can see stuff like that. And you can join the FOMALY at facebook.com/groups/CarlyWiesel. This episode was edited efficiently by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, sweetheart, it's Mom. Another great episode. But what I didn't hear, I wanted you to mention that when you started this 99-cent a month subscription, this is so cool. It's a nice place for everyone to chat and to learn. It is so good. I loved the Q&As this week. I love all the content, and so many listeners joined. Yes, I subscribed. Probably was number one. I was so excited. I get to be a part of it. And I paid for it, so I get to be in it. Can't throw me out. So, Carly, please put the subscription link, because people are asking me about it, and I don't see the link up. So please put it up so people can join that have asked me. All right, no longer going to Gideon's and Disney Springs. Okay, stop. So last time, about a month and a half ago, I waited in line for an hour and a half, not complaining, and got you all your cookies versus getting in the car and driving an hour each way. That's two more hours. So I'm sticking with Disney Springs. Plus, they have a great Disney store there that I love. Okay. The candy bar, how come everything that is so good always seems to be like my favorite things that are taken away? I don't get it. All right, you mentioned the fuel rods. All right, I use iWalk chargers from Amazon. Oh, my gosh. Of course, you have to charge them, and then you don't need the cord once you go out. But they last so long. They have solid colors. I have one that is pewter beaded. It is so nice. And I started to read from Housewives of Beverly Hills using it, and I had to have it. It is so cute. To the caller about pizza, my fave is Lou Malnati. Mine is deep dish all the way. There's so much cheese. It is so good. I might close my eyes and die. I love it so much. So there is a good Lou Malnati. It's right on the Gold Coast area in downtown, and that's a really nice area. I'm so glad, Carly, that you're homesick, because I would love to see you come this summer. I would love it. I love you. I love you, Pearl, and I love you, John Stamos. Have a great week, everybody.